So it's a very familiar story. Palm Sunday is what we call it. We remember the story of Jesus heading toward Jerusalem. He sends two of his disciples ahead to get something, a donkey, to ride into the city at the time of Passover. And it's a huge festive time for the people coming into Jerusalem. We hear the story in Mark 11, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it. He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead, those who followed, shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. It's funny, Jesus had walked everywhere he went throughout his ministry. And the message he sends to people by riding a colt or a donkey into Jerusalem is profound. Because most warriors or royalty, they would ride into towns on stallions or chariots, especially when they wanted to show off their power or if they were going into war. But in times of peace, they rode a lowly donkey. That was their symbol, telling the people that they came in peace. So it is with Jesus. He's riding into town on a donkey. He's telling people he's coming in peace. But I think they have a different peace in mind than he has in mind. Those who are welcoming him into town by cheering and waving palms, which is what I remember as a kid, walking down the middle hallway in the sanctuary and circling the sanctuary waving palms. I remember that. As a kid, I didn't really start to understand it until I started thinking about today, this message, this moment. So I wonder what those people who were waving those palms were expecting from their Hosanna. And Hosanna means to save now, the Savior. Did they expect him to save them? And from whom? To save them from the Romans? What about the people in the crowd who'd been healed by Jesus, who listened to Jesus' teaching, and who were fed by Jesus? Do you think that they felt maybe differently about Jesus coming into town? And what about the people who were threatened by Jesus, jealous of him? I'm sure that Jesus looked out among everyone and saw a mixture of expressions on their face. As we come into our time of prayer at the altar, I want you to think about the mixture of emotions among the people on that day that Jesus came into Jerusalem. What is it that Jesus ultimately wants us to know? What is it that he wants us to do? Is it about salvation? Is it about peace? So today is also known as Passion Sunday. We've gone from palms to passion. And it's been kind of an emotional thing for me to think about Christ in the context of Passion Sunday. So Jesus sees a mixture of reactions among the crowd. There were those who loved him, and perhaps there was Bartimaeus who was there, a man who had received sight, and he was no longer wearing beggar's rags. Perhaps Zacchaeus, he'd paid his debt. He made peace with God. Maybe the lepers, their skin now cleansed. But there were also sinister faces. Faces with squinty eyes, maybe crossed arms, just waiting until Jesus says or does something wrong. Maybe the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were the keepers of the law, the spiritual leaders, but Jesus had so much popularity, they were threatened. They were jealous. The Romans were there, certainly with crossed arms. They feared revolt and were watching for any sign of rebellion against Rome. They were ready and waiting to crush any uprising. And Jesus began to realize, looking at all of those sinister faces and hearing the sinister voices, they were drowning out the cries of Hosanna. They were becoming louder. And those who cried for Jesus to be king, they would soon be yelling with conviction, "Crucify him." Or maybe they would just be standing there silently next to the people who were yelling crucifixion. So now Jesus is heading along the road from the Mount of Olives toward the gate. The crowds thronging around him, and I wonder what the apostles were thinking. There are so many people in this story, so many different perspectives. Thomas, doubting Thomas, maybe a little bit skeptical about everything that was going on. What was going to happen next? Andrew, who I kind of feel like I'm in touch with, because he might have been a little bit overwhelmed. He used to bring people to Jesus one by one or in small groups. And now there was this huge crowd and so much stuff going on. That's a little bit how I feel when I get up here in front of you. And what about James and John? Do you think that they were hoping Jesus would be crowned the earthly king so that they could be on his right and left positions of authority and power? Suddenly everything stopped. The procession stopped. I think it might have been a little bit like our Cedar Point trip last year with the youth and kids. There was construction, two lanes split, and I chose the wrong lane. And we were sitting there for hours. And the kids and the adults, they were looking around to the side, "What's going on? What's going on?" We couldn't see. We were too far back. But the people who were closer to the wreck, they knew what was going on. So I think the people in the procession with Jesus were just like that. Those closest to him could see why. And at first, his body movements might have suggested that he was laughing. It was a festival, so it could have been very appropriate for him to be laughing. But those who, and his body was shaking a little bit, but those who were closest to him could see that he was weeping and crying. And I think that this is only the second time Jesus ever wept. He wept with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And this is the second occasion. I think when he looked at the city of Jerusalem and he saw the mixture of faces and he saw the emptiness in their lives, they had not heard of the message of peace, Jesus' peace. They did not understand the purpose of his coming. Listen as I read Luke 19:41-44. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come when your enemies will build up embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children with in these walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." They were waving their palm branches. They didn't understand. They were doing what their great-grandparents had done when there was a victory over war, waving their palm branches in victory. What were they expecting Jesus to come as? maybe another warlord, maybe a general of the armies who would lead them to overthrow Rome. But from Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, "I didn't come for that purpose. I came to show you a more excellent way. I came to show you the way of love. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Those who listened must have thought, "Those are beautiful words, but he surely doesn't mean those Romans. We can't love Rome." He exactly was saying that. Love your enemies. And today, just like in the city of Jerusalem thousands of years ago, we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus. And I wonder what he finds when he looks into our faces. Does he see people who are concerned about the many things of this earthly world? Or does he see people who recognize him for who he is, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God? And when he turns and looks into our lives, I wonder, will he weep just one more time because of what he sees in us? Or do we have the joy that passes all understanding as we respond to his outstretched arms and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." I have also, after you take communion, something that I want you to take home. It's a simple piece of metal. It's a concrete nail or a cut nail. This is a very passionate week, full of sorrow, but it ends in the resurrection. And so I want you to think about, through this week, the path that Jesus took leading to the cross.